Welcome back to What Do They Know podcast. This week, the guys will discuss the big wins from the Colts and the Cowboys. But hey, what do they know?
What do they know? Well, we are about to find out. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to what week are we in? Week 7 on the What Do They Know podcast. In my defense, as a Jets fan, it feels like it's week 14. That's how long the season's been already.
It's just what end. I'm with you.
I mean, good Lord. But that's about as much as I'm going to say about that. How was your week, man?
Yeah, good so far. Yeah, I mean, it's... As I was telling you earlier, I went out for some sushi on Saturday night with a coworker. I mean, it was a good time. And then, obviously, watched some football on Sunday. I can't complain. Obviously, the Saints didn't do, you know, anything special. They lived to my expectations, unfortunately. And
Spencer Rattler didn't look terrific.
Yeah, that was the dud that I feel like he was kind of avoiding for a very long time. And I feel like he was definitely pressing on a lot of those throws. I feel like his eyes were leading the safeties to where he was throwing, and he was still pulling the trigger for whatever reason.
Dennis Allen revenge game.
Yeah, that was weird. The Chicago Bears defense, they have the talent to be really, really good. I've never seen them play this hard. That was almost like overkill, overmatch, you know, against a porous Saints offense that just could not get anything going, except the last drive of the first half and the first drive of the second half. And then they realized that, like, hey, wait, we're not this good. And they just stopped. So, oh, well.
Yeah. The Jets still suck, so there's that. But we did get a big win on Saturday for ASU.
Oh, yeah, ASU over Texas Tech.
Over Texas Tech, number 7 team in the country. ASU knocked them off, so forks up once again.
Did your dad go to that?
No. They were going to, but something came up. They didn't end up going. But
gotcha.
Don't look now. ASU has a clear path to the Big 12 title game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look now. They're going to run the table last 5 games. You watch.
Yeah, they're ranked 24th right now.
Yeah. Yep. That's all I have left. So, all right. Let's jump into top stories this week. What do you got?
Yeah, I think the biggest shocker, I feel like, throughout the National Football League was the Denver Broncos coming back from a 19-point deficit overall. You're scoring 33 fourth-quarter points, the most in franchise history, I feel like, maybe in NFL history, I feel like.
It was 26-8 with under 6 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, teams with a 18-plus point lead with less than 6 minutes had 1,602 straight games with that cushion. And, that streak has been snapped. So, I mean, overall, Denver has been a really streaky team overall. Obviously, we saw it last week in London or Dublin or was it London?
I don't know.
Somewhere in
Europe.
Yeah, somewhere in the United Kingdom where it was just a slugfest against the Jets, 13-11. So sometimes their offense is hit or miss. Bo Nix can be hit or miss. I mean, he only had 2.5 like fantasy points for me in the first half, and he just exploded for close to 40 to end the game. So I'm not exactly sure what's making their light flip switch on whenever they need to. But, I mean, there's got to be some level of consistency that the Denver Broncos have to achieve. I mean, overall, you take the win. You know, this is a game you should have lost with every right and manner. But to me, there's definitely a lot more improvement to. If I'm Sean Payton, I'm happy for it, but like I'd be, we had there's 3.5 quarters that we did not show up for, and
55 of 60 minutes, you could say, literally did not. They got outplayed in every facet.
Yep,
their you know, quote unquote stout defense got worked by a rookie quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Really, without, you know, minus that pick he threw with like 3 minutes left in the game. He had four. He had four touchdowns.
Yeah.
Between rushing and passing.
Yeah,
he looked great.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at the score after three quarters. Like, this doesn't make sense. It did not make sense to me, and yet, I mean, Denver found a way, and good for them. But I mean, Bo Nix also had four touchdowns, two passing, two rushing. So he
5 minutes.
Yeah,
which is just crazy.
Yeah, he balled out when time needed it. I mean. I didn't think they were going to come out this flat when it was Demaryius Thomas's Ring of Honor ceremony. I thought they were going to play out with a heavy heart and really stick it to the Giants, to be honest with you. But I mean, that didn't show up. But I think that's more of a testament of what the Giants are doing. I hope this game in particular doesn't break them. I mean, I think we all saw the face of Jackson Dart after the comeback was completed, and Brian Burns had some words in the on his way to the locker room about some frustration there. But overall, I just hope that the style and the swag kind of continue for the Giants, because they desperately need it on that team. Because if that disappears, all of a sudden you're going to question the confidence of Jackson Dart and the rest of that team, and that is something they cannot afford.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about a difference of 5 minutes from where the storyline around the Giants is, can they make a push for the playoffs?
Yep.
To where now it's are they going to be completely shattered after this? And yeah. I don't really think that's an over exaggeration. Like, I feel like losing a game in that fashion could really do that to a team, especially a young team with a young rookie quarterback and a coach who's fighting, scratching and clawing to save his job.
Yeah.
Bad combination for that to happen to them. But man, what a solid first few, not even first few minutes, first few quarters for them just to, you know, all of a sudden flip a switch like that. Good for Denver. Like you said, take the win and get out of there. But there's going to come a point where, because they did the same thing against Philadelphia. They were down, I think, 16 roughly in that, again, in the fourth quarter, and they were able to come back and win. Yeah. That is, you're not going to be able to do that every week.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to figure it out. You got to get a little bit more consistency. And that's why, honestly, I do not trust that team right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're my sleeper pick in the AFC. They're
your Super Bowl pick in the AFC.
They are not even sleeper. So I mean, yes, the talent is there. It's just about distributing it equally for four quarters. Can you sustain it? So to me, I like the Denver Broncos. I believe in their coaching. I believe in the players. It just happens to be a problem of efficiency and how they can maintain what they need to maintain for four quarters. But yeah, I feel like that was a great game overall, though.
Yeah, the game of the week, for sure.
For sure. And then my second top story is the Cowboys. The Cowboys, the Cowboys are very interesting to me at 3-3-1. I don't know what to make of them.
They're dangerous.
They are very dangerous. They have the most potent, I feel like, offense in the league. And yet, at the same time, the most disastrous defense in the league as well. Right up there with, like, Baltimore and the like. But, I mean, Dak Prescott is playing at an insane level right now. 21 for 30 for 264 yards and three touchdowns. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb made his presence felt with five catches, 110 yards, and a TD for himself.
Jake Ferguson is having the season of his life.
Ferguson is a big red zone target, and he only had 29 yards receiving, but two TDs and on seven catches. I mean, then that's a big body there that they're exploiting in the red zone. So the Cowboys, to me, have everything you need offensively to make a really, really decent push, but it's going to definitely be reliant on ball control, possession, and making sure your defense does just enough on maybe a bend don't break mentality sort of thing, where they keep their offense in the game, because I feel like their offense can put up points as much as any other offense in this league. They've proven it time and time again. What was it, 44-24 this past game against the Commanders? I mean, the Cowboys are just rolling right now offensively, especially Javonte Williams. Talk about a comeback story.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
I mean, he's been a revolution for that run game. So to me, the Cowboys are just so interesting to me. I feel like they're going to make a run where they're going to bounce off like 3-4 wins in a row and really, really set themselves up beautifully for the playoff run. Or maybe they just hover around 500, but I definitely see with that offense that they can pull off maybe four wins in a row and really make a push for a wild card position in that division.
Yeah, so, I mean, before I knew you were going to talk about the Cowboys, one of my overreactions was that they are not only a playoff team, but they're going to make a deep run.
Yeah.
So I'm right there with you. I'm going to give myself some props. I was all in on Dak Prescott at the beginning of the season. If you remember correctly, when we did our NFC East breakdown, he was my must have because I was convinced he was going to have a great year.
Yeah.
So far that's been spot on. He kind of had a record day yesterday. I'm not sure if you know this, but it's yesterday with his three touchdowns made it four games in a row with three TDs and no interceptions. Only five other quarterbacks have ever done that. Ever. Four games in a row, three TDs, no interceptions, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Russell Wilson,
okay.
Drew Brees,
okay.
Aaron Rodgers,
okay.
Peyton Manning, Tom Brady.
That's a
heck of a list.
That's a beautiful class right there.
I mean, he's got 16 touchdowns and only three picks.
Yeah.
So, you know, 101, I think, ish, 101.6 is his current quarterback rating. So he's making every play. He's making every throw. He looks totally in control.
Yeah.
They have scored the second most points in the league, only behind the Colts, who we'll get into in a minute. But the Cowboys, I'm right there with you. They can stay in every game.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter. I'll be really curious. I feel like the NFL trade deadline historically is not a big one, right? It's not very active.
Yeah.
Will the Cowboys make a move on defense? Which is ironic considering they
could really use a Michael Parsons.
Yeah, right. They traded away their best defensive piece, but will they make a move to get a pass rush?
Yeah.
I.e. Quinnen Williams from the Jets, you know, who will stuff up that middle. You know, somebody like that from a team that's just out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can, you know, throw them a late round pick or something and kind of firm up that defense. Because if they can do that, man, they're scary.
Right.
And the NFC East is well within reach.
Yeah, I mean, Philadelphia.
The Eagles are not locked in. Who knows what's going to happen with Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants just had the worst loss ever yesterday. So it's right there.
Right. It's there for the taking, for sure. Philadelphia, obviously, they won yesterday, but they have their own lingering underlying issues. So who knows what goes there. But, yeah, I feel like Schottenheimer has his team locked in for what it is and the talent that's on the roster. And, I mean, if they make a real good push and if they end up winning that division, you might see Schottenheimer get some Coach of the Year nods and some votes. Because, I mean, overall, losing your best overall player, I feel like, in Micah Parsons, arguably, and still maintaining that locker room and making sure everyone remains competitive and buying into the system that they're trying to implement, that deserves high praise, in my opinion. So Schottenheimer for me is definitely like a top five Coach of the Year candidate right now, for sure.
Agreed. Yep. Agreed. All right, so my first story is the team that we just mentioned, the Indianapolis Colts. I feel like yesterday was the day for me where I'm like, okay, they're legit.
Yeah.
I'm bought in on the fact that the Colts are a threat.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I texted my boss, shout out Wes, who's a huge diehard Colts fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I texted him when they were up, I think 20. And I'm like, hey man, I think the Colts are for real. And he called me. He goes, dude, don't say that.
I'm
not there yet. He goes, but if they win today, I might be. And he goes, you know, I'm waiting for you to talk about it on the pod. So, so there you go.
Right.
Here's your shout out. And I mean, they're just a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor had three touchdowns yesterday. Tyler Warren, their tight end, rookie tight end, has been amazing. He has a touchdown streak of at least, I think, three games, possibly four games. Michael Pittman had one yesterday. And Daniel Jones just looks completely unrattled, completely in control. And, I mean, they put up 44 on the Chargers defense yesterday, 38, I believe it was, on the Chargers defense, who have a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're 6-1, best record in the league. I don't know. I think that they're answering every question.
Yeah, I mean, talk about perfectly complementary football on both sides. I mean, Jonathan Taylor sets up Daniel Jones as much as Daniel Jones sets up Jonathan Taylor, in my opinion. They're bringing the best out of each other. I mean, that offensive line has been extraordinary. There's just not enough credit to go around for that team because they've just been doing everything almost flawlessly. Shane Steichen, to me, that's Coach of the Year right now. I don't think anyone really saw the Indianapolis Colts with Daniel Jones at the QB helm to really make any noise, especially like this. I mean, six wins that maybe some people projected for their year.
The whole year, man. And that's being generous.
Yeah. I think the Colts were near the bottom of our list for the division, to be honest with you. But to be honest with you, it's one of those things where a team comes together, and I feel like they have a system, and Daniel Jones has finally revealed his true potential under the right system, under the right coaching. And Jonathan Taylor, he's showing the form of that he showed when he won the rushing title back in 21. So everything is just lining up for them perfectly. And I mean, for the Chargers, talk about getting manhandled for, I feel like, the third consecutive game or something. They've just not looked the same as when they knocked off the Chiefs to open up their season. They took advantage of a team that was spiraling, that looks like they're spiraling out of control. So kudos to them. They're not even messing around, to be honest with you. It's feels like they're not even really, playing to their competition. They're asserting their will and doing things in ways that a dominant football team does, and that's running the football, power it, and then throw to the open man, which is Michael Pittman Jr. You have a true wide receiver one, and then it looks like you have one of the better tight ends in the league now, and Tyler Warren. So this is looking more and more every way like a complete football team, and I'm excited to see what they do.
Yeah, agreed. All right, so Christian McCaffrey is having another season to where we're going to talk about at the end of the year if he should be considered for MVP.
Mm.
I mean, if you look at the production that he's had, I'll rattle off his stats here in a minute, and what the Niners would be without him.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, a team, once again, decimated by injuries, mm-hmm. no receivers, I shouldn't say no quarterback. Mac Jones has been great. George Kittle was out, you know, all these different things. Ayuk is still out. So from a rushing standpoint, he's been, I would say, average. He's got 108 attempts, 336 yards, and a touchdown. But from a receiving standpoint, he's got 46 catches, 444 yards, and three touchdowns. So as a running back, he's well on pace to have 100 catches and 1,000 yards receiving.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Talk about being the focal point of your offense.
That's insane. Take him out, and what would the Niners be? I mean, they would be nothing. They'd be horrible.
Yeah.
That's an MVP.
That it sounds like an MVP
to
me.
So, I mean, you know, we had this debate, what was this, 2 years ago on, you know, if he could be an MVP as a running back and, you know, the scheme and everything. And I think that this year is a different conversation because they don't have all those pieces.
Yeah.
He needs to be this for them to be 5-2 like they are right now.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday against the Falcons, I feel like the only player they could not find an answer to was Christian McCaffrey. I feel like everyone knows where the ball is going, but yet there's nothing you can do about it. And Christian McCaffrey is just that game changer when healthy. And obviously,
and
the biggest
kudos to him.
Yeah, the biggest problem with him has always been health, obviously. But this year he's shown that he's returning to that level, just as Jonathan Taylor is returning back to his 21 season. And Christian McCaffrey, he's been dominating. There's just this certain quickness and shiftiness with him that just makes him, you know, not tackable or goes under the radar until he gets the ball somehow. I have no idea what he's working with, but he knows how to use it, and he's out there catching footballs at an insane rate and an insane pace. Especially with the team that I feel like doesn't really have a deep threat or really
they
any.
Don't. They don't even have a number one. He's their number one receiver.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, they're dealing with guys. And no disrespect, but these guys just aren't a number one. I mean,
yeah.
You got DeMarcus Robinson. You got Ricky Pearsall when healthy. Brandon Ayuk hasn't been on the field yet.
Yeah. Juwan Jennings.
Juwan Jennings, thank you, when healthy. Like, these are, you know, guys that are historically your number two or number three guy.
Right.
And that's who Mac Jones has to throw the ball to when it's not Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, it's insane to me what he's doing on the team that he's doing with it. But yeah, if you take Christian McCaffrey off of that team, all of a sudden
they're a dumpster fire.
Yeah, their record is switched at least 2-5.
Agreed.
At least.
Agreed.
So to me, yeah, we'll probably talk about it more as the season evolves. But as we talked about, MVP kind of goes to the best quarterback, to the best team, or however you want to slice it. But it's kind of turned into a quarterback award, unfortunately, but Christian McCaffrey deserves the praise and the honors as long as he remains healthy, because if there's one player that the 49ers cannot afford to lose, it's going to be Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I think if he stays healthy, they continue to win, mm-hmm. and he has this type of production, especially as a receiver,
mm-hmm.
that MVP conversation is only going to get louder.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Overreactions this week. What do you got?
So I got one. It kind of jumps off from the conversation we were having last week with how they fired Brian Callahan in Tennessee with Cam Ward and all those first overall picks of quarterbacks.
Yep.
So my statement here is drafting a QB with the first overall pick is a mistake.
Yeah.
So
that's a good one.
So
listen up, Jets.
Listen up, Jets. So I took the last 20 years of first overall picks. 15 of them are quarterbacks. And I want you to name, I'm going to name them off, and I want you to say if any of them are Hall of Famers.
Okay.
So Alex Smith in 05.
No.
Jamarcus Russell in 07.
God, no.
Stafford in 09.
Potentially.
Potentially.
Probably, yes. I'm gonna say
I would
yes.
say yes.
I'm going to say yes.
Yep. Sam Bradford in 10.
No.
Cam Newton in 11.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Andrew Luck in 12.
Yes.
Andrew Luck a Hall of Famer? I don't know if he lasted in the league long enough. Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah.
He could have potentially
all
gone,
right,
but...
All right. Possibly. Okay. To be determined.
Yep. Jameis Winston in 15.
No.
Jared Goff in 16.
Not right now.
Yeah, not at the pace he's going, yeah. Unfortunately. I mean, he's a great story, but Hall of Famer, probably not. Baker Mayfield. We love us some Baker.
I love me some Baker Mayfield.
We love us some Baker.
Not right now.
Okay. Kyler Murray.
No.
Okay. Joe Burrow.
Probably.
I mean, that's a tale yet to be told, to be honest with you.
Probably. Yeah.
And then obviously the last four was Trevor Lawrence, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, and Cam Ward. It's too soon to tell for any of those, but I mean, honestly, they're not really on the trajectory to be at that pace. So one for sure, I feel like we can agree, and that's Stafford.
Yeah.
And honestly, there's just a lot of mediocrity here, and I mean, you have Andrew Luck, whose career got cut short unfortunately due to getting hit at an insane rate,
alarming rate.
Yes, and Joe Burrow is right up there with him. And,
yeah.
And to me, the overreaction kind of stems from the conversation we've had of developing your team. And I mean, we always talk about drafting the best player available, and I feel like a lot of GMs don't do that. I feel because the quarterback is such a franchise turning, but the problem, if you don't have a team around you, you're just throwing away the talent down. You're flushing it down the toilet, I feel like. And I think it's time for GMs to start understanding and maybe looking elsewhere. I mean, if there's other GMs that want to draft the quarterback with the number one overall pick, trade down. Collect assets, you know, get the fourth overall pick and then plus next year's first round or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I mean, overall, I also wrote down the names of the other five non-QB. And I mean, I like this list. They're not like, you know, superb.
Myles Garrett's one of them, right?
Myles Garrett.
Yep.
He has over 100 sacks.
Yep.
Mario Williams. He ended his career with 97 and a half sacks.
Yep.
Drake Long. He was a first team All Pro.
Yep.
Eric Fisher won a Super Bowl with Kansas City with the team who drafted him.
Yep.
Jadeveon Clowney.
He's been an impact player, but he hasn't, you know, he's not Miles Garrett, but he's had a really good career.
Yeah. Miles Garrett in 17, and then Trevon Walker with the Jacksonville the year after they drafted Trevor Lawrence. So, I mean, he's still only 24. So the jury's still out on him because he was number one overall pick in 22. So 3 years in, I'm not going to rag on him on that one.
I've literally never heard of that guy.
Trevon Walker?
Dude, he was the number one overall pick?
Number one overall pick.
Oh, my God.
In 22.
All right. Well, that answers. I mean, all right.
But, I mean, there's a lot of impact players. Jake Long, Eric Fisher, Myles Garrett, defensive player of the year.
Yeah. Every single year, perennial, just got paid $40 million a year.
Yeah. And Myles Garrett, I mean, honestly, he might be on a pace to be a Hall of Famer.
Oh, for sure.
So
100%.
Like, to me, you have one Hall of Famer out of 15 quarterbacks and then one Hall of Famer out of six non-QBs. I mean, I'm taking my chances with the non QBs, to be honest.
And you know what's interesting about that? I'd be curious to hear your opinion, because the first is when we both immediately said Stafford, yes to Stafford.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was, would he have been, if he didn't come to the Rams, would he be a Hall of Famer based on his time in Detroit?
And that's the thing. I mean,
my point is, like, he had to go to a different team.
Yeah.
So the team, you know, he's not even considered a Hall of Famer for what he did with the team that drafted him number one overall. He had to get traded and go win a Super Bowl somewhere else.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the same story for a lot of these other quarterbacks. I mean, Alex Smith, he had his tenure with San Francisco, but I feel like probably his better years were in Kansas City, to be honest with you. And then Jamarcus Russell, obviously that flamed out pretty quickly. Sam Bradford didn't go anywhere. Cam, he made the Super Bowl, but it is what it is. I mean, and then Baker, I mean, his best years are here in Tampa. So there's
four
a lot
teams
of,
later.
Yeah, there's a lot of names here that aren't with their original team that had better years without being drafted with the team that drafted them. So to me, it's a big gamble. It's just one of those things where you have to, as soon as you draft a quarterback with number one overall pick or any high pick in general, you have a deadline.
You have a time. You have a ticking time clock.
Yeah, you have before you start having to pay him, and then all of a sudden your whole roster construction is out the window. It is now revolving around your quarterback. So it's just one of those things where I'm not sold on the quarterback being first overall anymore. I'm ditching that plan, to be honest.
Dude, this is such a good conversation, and it's so relevant to me selfishly because of the Jets more than likely getting the number one overall pick this upcoming season.
I mean, it's
season.
For both of us, to be honest
and,
with you.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And the thing that I, you know, of course, it's a very Jet-like thing to do, to get the number one overall pick when there's no solidified stud at quarterback coming out.
Yeah.
They're going to reach for somebody.
Yeah.
He's going to be garbage. And they're so, like, to your point, like, that's why this is so interesting. Like, I, you know, Jets fans on Twitter, they're done with the season. They're already scouting college quarterbacks to decide who they want.
Yeah.
And because, like, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to get, top three pick.
Yeah.
Let's give them maybe a couple wins. I'm of the opinion as of right now, if they get that number one pick, they need to trade out.
Yeah.
They need to trade down. Somebody will reach every year it happens. Because if you do hit on the quarterback, you're good for 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? But to your point, and on all the names that you just rattled off, which I thought was amazing, like, it's not likely.
Mm-hmm.
It's more unlikely than the other way that you're going to hit on somebody.
Yeah, if you're picking that high, you have holes in your roster. And to put a young quarterback in that position to, you know, raise the franchise, I mean, not everyone's going to be a Jane Daniels or CJ Stroud and just, you know, turn your franchise. I mean, and CJ Stroud has struggled since his rookie season, to be honest with you. And then Jaden Daniels, his sophomore year, it looks like it's kind of getting derailed a little bit by injuries. You just never know what can happen with your franchise quarterback that you draft with a top 10, 5 pick or whatever. It's so much to really evaluate your roster 1 through 53 and realize that a quarterback, yes, will take you to the promised land, but at the same time, I feel like it's a luxury at this point. And trying to reach for a quarterback with the number one overall pick is just, I feel like over the past 20 years, it just has not worked out for any of these teams.
Well, the NFL is no longer a development type league. It is a win now league. Owners, GMs, and fans are not patient. They're not set up to develop somebody.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody's drafting this guy number one, or quite honestly, in the first round. Let's just say first round. And fans and GMs, they expect him to play now and win and be good and figure it out on the fly. And I remember when you and I were growing up, dude, that was not the norm.
No.
It was very reasonable for guys to sit at least a year, maybe 2 years to learn, i.e., you know, Aaron Rodgers. Even Jordan Love. Jordan Love is the most recent one that I can remember where he actually didn't start right away.
Yeah,
Patrick Mahomes sat for a year. That's a great point.
Yep.
So I just don't think that that's the way the league is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that they're going to continue to ruin potentially good prospects
if
they are impatient. Because, you know, Baker Mayfield, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold are all prime examples of what you could do if you give your the team patience and give that player time to develop.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that that's the way it goes anymore.
Right. No, to me, I feel like the smarter play is maybe finding a Baker Mayfield who's kind of had who you know has the potential, but it's flamed out with the fan base that originally drafted him. And maybe you'll strike gold with like a Daniel Jones, like the Colts have. And I mean, if you want to draft a quarterback afterwards or pay a little bit of money to secure the quarterback that has kind of turned your franchise around, then so be it. But at the same time, I feel like it's too much of a gambit now to risk it all with the number one overall pick being a quarterback. I just can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I agree. And this is really funny. I'm going to put a bow on this real quick and jump into my first overreaction, because it's really funny considering my first overreaction is the opposite of what we just talked about.
Oh, no.
And so my first overreaction is that Brian Daboll should be fired for not starting Jackson Dart week one. Isn't that hilarious, given what we just talked about?
Yep.
But seriously, like, I was texting with a buddy yesterday at the time when we thought the Giants were going to win and move to 3-4. And I'm like, dude, this is amazing. And his response was, do you know how mad I am that Daboll went with Russell Wilson for the first 3 weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, and to your point, it's what we literally just talked about. And I don't know how much three games really did for Dart and his development, so I'm not going to give him too much props for being patient.
Right.
Because I really don't think that three games was enough for him to make an impact in his development whatsoever.
Right.
But you think about what the Giants could be if they had him those 3 weeks. I mean, you know, they were neck and neck with the Cowboys week two.
Mm-hmm.
The Sunday night game against the Chiefs was a thud. They were in that game until the third quarter. They could have very easily won that game with Dart playing this way.
Mm-hmm.
And week one against Washington, same thing. I think they maybe scored one touchdown. I mean, Jackson Dart, he's the guy. They found him.
Yep.
Like, congratulations, Giants. Congratulations, Joe Shane. You probably bought yourself another 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Daboll, not so sure. But Jackson Dart is the guy, and the combination of him and Cam Scadaboo, who we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I mean, they're 2-5, should be 3-4, very easily could have that record flip-flopped if he played the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, it brings up the whole what ifs. I agree. I mean, Jackson Dart has had everything going for him. I mean, as we talked about earlier, we'll see how he reacts to a heartbreaking loss, like he sustained against the Denver Broncos. Whether that shatters a little bit of the confidence or ruins the camaraderie a little bit. I'm not sure how the Giants bounce back from this. I mean, obviously Jackson Dart brings a whole new level of energy to the team, but I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see. To be honest with you, I just don't. It's hard to say that he would win and everything would be flowers and dandelions if Daboll had started in week one. But at the same time, I feel like he's earned the right to be claimed as the quarterback of the Giants, and Scadaboo as well has earned the right to be the running back of the future there instead of Tyrone Tracy. So it's just one of those things where they needed their young guys to kind of develop and show that they are capable of carrying a heavy workload. And Scadaboo was the first one to arrive on the scene, and then Jackson Dart, obviously, after Russell Wilson's benching. So to me, I don't think it's an overreaction. I think he definitely would have ignited that Giants offense and team in general to maybe a win or two during those losses. But it's just hard to say for me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think the one thing, because, when I was writing this and I was preparing for the show, I'm like, you can't fault a guy for not starting a rookie quarterback. But at the same time, he was electric in the preseason.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of had that excitement around him.
Yeah.
And he decided not to, but, it is what it is at this point. But their next few games, mind you, once again, I don't know how a last place team ended up with this schedule. This schedule is an absolute nightmare. So this, we'll know everything we need to know about Jackson Dart over the next few weeks.
Uh-huh.
At the Eagles.
Oof.
Home to the Niners.
Mm.
At the Bears. Three great defenses.
Yeah.
Packers. Lions. Patriots, Commanders.
Oh,
that's brutal.
Oh,
it's absolutely brutal.
That is terrible.
So, you know, it's going to be a tough stretch, and we're going to see exactly what this team is made of after that loss with that schedule.
If you can steal two or three of those games right there, you are setting yourself up perfectly for the future, to be honest with you. You are building mojo for next year, and I mean, that gives hope for the fan base, and honestly, gives all the leeway to the front office to go out and get the guys that they need to really compete next year. But yeah, that is a gauntlet.
Agreed.
Wow.
All right. So my other one, and I don't even know if this is an overreaction, honestly, but you know, now is the time of year where we're already starting to talk about coaches that are on the hot seat. We've already had one coach fired.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of took inventory of the league and of the coaches, and I'll rattle off what I think, or I'll rattle off the number and I'll see if you can pick the teams. But I have 8 head coaching vacancies next year.
8
teams where I already think right now it's very reasonable for the teams to move on.
Counting the Titans, right?
Counting the Titans. So the Titans are 1, right? That's a given.
Okay. Arizona.
Correct.
Okay. Giants.
Correct.
Well, that's 3. Let me see here. What about the Jets?
Yes.
You're
I don't
one
think
and done.
It should.
Okay.
But it's Woody Johnson.
Right.
I don't think they should. I'm a proponent of giving him another year. But if they continue down this road, Jets fans have been calling for it for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So it would not shock me at all.
One and done.
I don't think they should.
Okay.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
So yes, they're on the list.
Okay. Mike McDaniels for
100%.
Miami.
Yeah, I keep refreshing Twitter to find out when that dude is going. I don't
know when that's going to happen. Stefanski in Cleveland.
Correct.
Okay, that's 6. Harbaugh.
Yep.
I know you're yep. you're big
because he was on my list last week.
Yep. And then
another one and done.
Another one and done. What conference? AFC or NFC?
AFC.
AFC. One and done.
He loves to chew gum. Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll of the Raiders.
I talked about him like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Retire, my
so
man.
So that's my list where I think that it's very reasonable that all of those teams could have new coaches next year.
Mm.
I mean, any that you disagree with or any that you think is crazy?
Not really.
I could have made and I almost put Pittsburgh on this list, even because if they make the playoffs and go one and done again, I think that Tomlin is could be gone.
Yeah, it'd be a mutual
party. He was almost on my list.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I think it's very realistic that we have 8, which I feel like would be the most in the last few years.
I think the most interesting to me was going to be the Arizona one, because they have to move away from either Kyler Murray or Gannon. They have to pick or choose, or
correct.
Maybe both.
Correct.
To be honest with you, but they have to.
I think it's time. This is his second head coach. I think it's time to be done with Kyler Murray.
I agree.
Personally.
I agree.
And quite honestly, one of my other overreactions that I didn't put was that Kyler Murray is not going to see the field the rest of the season. Jacoby Brissett is going to be the new quarterback that Kyler Murray basically got Wally pipped.
Yeah.
And I mean, Brissett, you know, they've lost both games, but Brissett has been great, and he's shown what the offense is capable of doing.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the Cardinals haven't lost any of their games by like a blowout
or anything.
They're
right there. They're right there.
I know. And the problem is Kyler Murray just has not shown the promise that or the control of the offense that Jacoby Brissett has. Brissett has definitely, you know, ignited a little bit of a tempo on that offense, especially with Trey McBride, to be honest. So we'll see if that continues. But yeah, I feel like the tenure of Kyler Murray being in Arizona should be done. And whether that extends Gannon for another year, honestly, I wouldn't even have a problem with it because
I wouldn't either.
Because honestly, they're competitive. And if you flip all those one score games, all of a sudden they have a winning record. It's just one of those things where you can only give Kyler Murray so many chances, I feel like. And there's just no way I can argue for a third head coach in his tenure, to be honest with you. It's time to move on.
Agreed.
If you're the Cardinals.
Agreed.
Yep.
All right.
Perfect.
That was a good segment.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that. All right. We'll switch it up over to power rankings.
Woo.
What do you got?
All right. Power rankings first. I got the Colts. So I think they've shown enough. They've proven enough. 6-1. There's not much left to be said on that one. Number 2 is going to surprise you, and you're probably going to hate it. And I love it for that. So I got the Patriots at number two.
I hate that.
Yeah, I know you do. But honestly, I talked about Drake May a couple weeks ago. I'm a big believer in Drake May. He's just, I feel like he's improving every single week. And that Patriots, you know, Josh McDaniels, his system is fitting Drake May's, you know, his talents to a T. And then Mike Vrabel, I feel like he's just an underrated coach.
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah, and I'm a believer in what they're doing. Do I think they're a year too soon? Yes. But at the same time, I feel like they have all the building blocks right now to really be a competitive team. I mean, they knocked out the Bills, and the Bills haven't they didn't look the same last week, to be honest with
no,
you,
they did not.
Against Atlanta. So the Patriots right now, I just think they're rolling high right now. Then number three, I got the Bucks. Yep. They're losing right now 7-0.
7-0, yep.
To the Lions, but that's all right. I mean, I'm not going to dock them for losing to the Lions, to be honest with you. But number four, Broncos, 5-2.
Oof, that's tough for me.
It's rough to put them up there, but at the same time, I had them in my, I think, as number five last week. But, I mean, they won. I mean, you scored 33 points in the fourth quarter. That's hard to overlook. And then number five, I got the Rams.
So, yeah, I thought about the Rams.
Yeah.
I thought about the Rams. Over the Niners, huh?
Over the Niners of right now. I just feel like Matthew Stafford would be the difference maker, to be honest with you, over Purdy or Mac Jones.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I had Tampa 2 last week, so I moved them up to number 1, knocking off Buffalo after their loss to Atlanta. But like you said, they're losing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City number 2 for me.
Yeah,
they were number 3 last week. They dominated the Raiders. I mean, Kansas City's back. I know nobody wants to hear this, and it makes me want to dry heave to say that. But Kansas City's back. They're tied for first in the division. They waxed the Raiders 31-0.
Yeah.
You know, they're back. They had a nice break in the beginning of the season, and they're gonna be right there at the end. So hate that for us.
It's terrible.
But number 3, I got the Colts again. You know, last week I said that Kansas City was the only true competitor to the Bills in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already kind of coming off of that a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But I got the Colts right behind Kansas City. Buffalo fell to number 4 for me. And then I kept Green Bay in my top 5.
Who dropped to number 4?
Buffalo.
Buffalo. I thought you said Baltimore.
I was like, what? I may have. Who knows?
Baltimore,
number 4. Coming out of nowhere.
Trying to sneak that in there.
Yeah. No, Buffalo 4, Green Bay still at 5. Green Bay is just winning ugly, which is partly, you know, maybe it's they're my Broncos for you, right? Where,
well, they're my other side of Super Bowl pick.
They're not doing anything flashy, but they're winning games. Yeah, so that's why I kept them in my top 5.
Gotcha.
Okay. Don't love that list. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to do with my list, but I like the teams there. I'm just not convinced about it. I feel like there's a lot of parity. I feel like this year, and I think that's why we suck at our picks.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest with you.
God.
Which brings us to this.
Great segue. Great segue. All right. You know what's it just sums up my season perfectly is the fact that the Giants were my upset pick this week, and they just completely crapped the bed against the Broncos.
They butchered it.
I was so excited that I was going to be 2-0 going into tonight's game, which was our game of the week.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, just didn't happen.
Just did not happen.
I'll go with mine. So I went, well, I'm 1-1 right now. And then obviously this game is pending. This was our game of the week, the Bucks and the Lions.
Yeah.
I picked the Bucks. And so obviously to be continued there, but my lock was the Eagles over the Vikings. Eagles were needed to win by 1.5. I think they ended up winning by 6. Uh-oh, there goes Jahmyr Gibbs.
Why?
There goes Jahmyr Gibbs.
Catch up to
that is a long one.
Oh my goodness,
that probably just won me a matchup and lost me another one.
I think I lost the one on that one too.
Yeah,
or at least it's gonna be close.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yep. 78 yards.
Yard rush TD.
That won me, that literally just won me a league and lost me another one. All right, 14-0 Lions, so extra point pending.
Yep.
So I had Eagles over the Vikings, I had Giants over the Broncos, which didn't happen, and then the Bucks, which looks like that's not going to happen either. So more than likely heading to 1-2 this week, which brings me to, oh God, where was it?
Oh no.
I don't even know. I think it's like 6-15 or something ridiculous. Like, I mean, yeah. Yeah, all right, go ahead.
All right. Well, I'm also 1-1 from last week. I had the Steelers over the Bengals as my lock. Joe Flacco decided that's not going to happen. He just threw it to Jamar Chase the entire time. I'm salty about him, but, you know, I reserve my thoughts.
Yeah, especially after your Mike Tomlin lifetime contract.
Yeah, my overreaction
last week was
fire him
now. Right back at you.
Yeah, I was like, well talk
that
about
did
perfect
not age
timing
well at all.
I was like, talk about perfect timing. Oh my goodness, it's like, oh well, whatever. It is what it is. My upset, I had the Colts over the Chargers. Surprisingly, the Chargers were a 1.5 upset.
Yeah, that never made sense to me.
Yeah.
That line.
Yeah, maybe it's because it was in L.A., but regardless, yep. Colts pulled that out.
Okay.
And then I had the Lions over the Bucks, who just took a 14-0 lead. Yep. So, yeah.
What do you got this week?
So this week, I got the Patriots over the Browns as my lock. It's a 6.5-point spread.
Okay.
So I'll have to win by at least a touchdown. I almost went with the Bucks over the Saints, but I felt really bad locking against my own team. Yeah, I figured you would. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it with myself.
You took my upset, though, so I guess we're even.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. So my upset was the 49ers over the Texans at 1.5.
That one is that. I mean, we're going to say this now, but that's an easy one to me.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, the Niners beating the Texans just makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Texans, the way they're playing, they're 2-3 right now. They play tonight against the Seahawks, so we'll see where they end up there. I feel like the Texans just don't leave much of an impression, to be honest with you. They don't really do anything that, you know, says, ooh, ah.
I'll be curious, and I'll be the first to admit I ain't staying up till 10 o'clock tonight to watch that game. But I'll be curious to see what they look like, only because last week or the week before, really, before their bye, was their first good offensive performance.
Yeah, CJ Stroud looked a little bit better.
Yeah, and so can they, I think he had like 4 touchdowns.
I believe so.
So can they continue that? Nico Collins finally got involved, but they're one of the toughest places to play at Seattle tonight. So
yeah.
Really curious to see how that looks.
Yep. And then our game of the week is going to be the Packers and the Steelers, a Sunday night football game.
Aaron Rodgers against his old team.
Yep. Again.
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 Yeah, again.
So I'm going with the Packers or the Steelers on this one.
Okay.
Yeah. Even if they win ugly, to be honest with you, I feel like the Packers have more talent than the Steelers do. So I'm rolling with the Packers.
Okay. So my lock, as I already said, I'm taking the Bucks over the Saints -5.5.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to win by a touchdown. I think that's very reasonable. Although NFC South games seem like they're always crazy and always ugly.
Yeah.
So that makes me a little nervous. but I like, you know, everybody who listens to this show knows I love the Bucks. So I took that one. My upset is the Cowboys getting 3.5 over the Broncos.
Okay.
You know, great offense versus a great defense. Although the Broncos showed that their defense can be had this week.
Yeah.
It's in Denver. Be curious to see, A, if the Cowboys can continue that offense. Ooh, what a catch by Mike. Oh, he dropped it. Oh, and he's hurt. Uh-oh.
He just came back, too.
Yeah, I got to go.
Mike Evans.
I got to go withdraw my trade request. Real quick. I got to withdraw that trade request. He's not moving, either.
I'm not sure what happened there. Was it? I don't know if he hit his head or anything.
Cancel. Like, cancel trade.
Cancel.
Cancel trade.
Can't cancel an accepted trade.
Yeah.
Eesh.
So can the Cowboys continue their offensive dominance, and will yesterday's game kind of be like a catapult for the Broncos?
Yeah.
Really curious to see which of those storylines plays out. But right now I'm taking the Cowboys offense over the inconsistent Broncos on both sides of the ball, really, offense and defense.
Yeah, if you're the Broncos defense, I'd be angry. I just allowed a rookie quarterback to put up that much, show up that much on your own defense. I mean, Patrick Surtain on CeeDee Lamb is going to be a matchup that's going to be really a fun one to watch. But, I mean, if I'm Denver, I'd be angry, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And then our game of the week, I don't see a scenario where Aaron Rodgers loses to the Packers.
Really?
I don't.
Well, he's going to discount double check on him.
So I'm taking the Steelers.
Okay.
So
going opposite.
I'm going opposite. Ooh. Evans looks like he hit his knee really hard into the turf.
Oh, it might be a century. That's what he's coming back from.
Yeah. So he doesn't look like he's good. So hopefully he's able to bounce back. But
nope.
All right. that'll do it for this week. Lots of good conversation. Our picks were still bad, so
terrible.
Do the opposite of what we do.
Yeah,
and you're gonna be great.
Yeah, but parlay.
Yeah,
parlay.
Yeah, seriously, parlay the opposite of our picks and let us know how it goes.
We earn. Yeah. We deserve a fraction of whatever you earn on that point.
All right, we'll be back with you next week, week 8. Saints, are they in a bye?
No, not until, unfortunately not.
Unfortunately not.
I don't think they're on a bye until like week 14 or something.
Good Lord.
Yep.
Yeah. Jets got the Bengals next week. Joe Flacco revenge game over the Jets. I got to find a storyline, something to keep me interested. I mean, you know what the great thing is about this, although all kidding aside, is like now my Sundays, I'm in a great mood because like I've come to terms with the fact that like this is what it's gonna be. I'm no like it. If the Jets are even remotely competitive, mm-hmm. and then they lose, it's a bad day in my house. Like I'm grumpy. I'm mean. I'll be the first to admit I don't handle it well.
Yeah.
Now, dude, there's nothing about watching the Jets that could bother me.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah,
I love it.
They kind of roped you in week one,
and I'm sure they
you.
Really did. It's funny. I was just telling somebody at work today. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around that this is the same team I saw week one. Like, it really is.
Yeah.
A team that almost took down the Steelers, looked amazing on offense. Justin Fields looked like he was the next franchise quarterback, and the dude may never see the field again. 6 weeks later, he may never see the field again. So, I don't know what happened. I really don't. I don't know what happened.
I can't even tell you.
It's the craziest thing. I mean, they looked so good. They looked like a good football team.
Yeah.
And I was there. Thank God I went to that game.
Could you imagine?
Of all games.
Yeah.
Golly.
Mm.
All right. We got off track there.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Next week, we will break down the Jets and the Bengals, our game of the week. Psych.
I'm taking a leave of absence for next week.
I'll go solo. I wouldn't make you do that. Break down the worst game of the week. All right. Hope you guys enjoy it, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week.
We want to hear from you. Stir up some conversation or controversy and reach out to us on our social media platforms to add to the weekly conversations.